Okay, that's that. Right, splendid. Thank you.
I shall be brief.
Even though there's a lot of sides. Perhaps I'll switch that on. Okay, so a little bit of daylight radiance, history stroke archaeology. This was from about 1991. This is the illuminance map. Of course, radiance has to first calculate what's coming in before it can actually produce what we now know is a HDR image. So what if you actually just start off with the HDR image and then try and work back to the illuminance field? So the first attempt at this was in a National Trust property called Ickworth House, the smoking room in Ickworth House. And so this is the view from the HDR camera. This is what it's seeing in there. So we do all the usual stuff, apply vignetting, we take away the electrical light contribution, and we know the photometric properties of the wallpaper, which is quite fussy, but we've done that with a sample. And then we can determine the mean luminance of those. And so we can interpolate the illumination field across those wallpaper patches and get the prevailing daylight illuminance from it that's coming in through the windows. Okay, and then of course you do monitoring and you can produce cumulative illumination maps. So this is for the whole of July, and we got within about 5 to 10% of what was measured at a point by the standard sort of kit that National Trust properties use called Hanwell light meters. So we're kind of getting towards what previously you could only do with simulation. Okay, but what if you don't have any wallpaper, you don't have any space in between, you've got an enormous tapestry, so you have to work with that. So this tapestry, well, there's two panels on it. It's in Ham House in Richmond near London, and it's the voliary room in Ham House. So there's a couple of people that might be familiar, Eleonora Bravila, the tall guy, that's Stephen Cannon-Brooks, and there's Nigel Blades from the National Trust there. So we set up this on the morning of the 22nd of March 2019. We had 3 hours to do this because the voliary room is one of the through rooms. So we couldn't block it off because everyone has to get through it to go through the rest of the house. So we had to do kind of all the calibration stuff and recording HDR images and illuminating them under fairly tight schedule. So we thought the way to do this is have a known illumination field. So we took with us a large sort of studio LED lamp and take HDR images of each of the two panels illuminated by the by the LED panel. Okay, now we knew that the reflected component here was going to be, you know, significant. It's not really possible to try and fix this by using the barn doors on the lamp, because you end up with penumbras that you can't deal with when you create the photometry and stuff. So we thought, we'll deal with this by another means. So we'd create a simulation model, put the LED lamp inside the simulation model, and then predict the illumination field, including the reflected light, using radiance. So of course, we need to know the photometry of the lamp, and it was Eleonora did all of these measurements and did clearly a fantastic job, as you'll see from the results that came out. So we got a really good description of the photometry of the lamp. And so we illuminate our surface now in the simulation model, AB0, just the direct part. And once you get to AB3, you've pretty much converged in this. So you're getting a good sort of 30% of the illumination around here is coming reflected off the ceiling. So it was definitely worth doing. OK, Okay, so we do it for each of the tapestry panels in turn, moving them around, again, all happening that morning. So the simulation work obviously was done later on. So we've got the simulated illumination map. We've got the HDR image on the camera that was fixed up over the door, which was going to stay there till the end of the year, recording every 10 minutes. So, luminance. Now, you're always going to get a little bit of misalignment between a simulation and a camera view. So, took the simulated illumination map and just warped it ever so slightly just to sort of match the tapestry area exactly. And did that for both. It didn't take much, but I thought I might as well get that right. Another thing we did was, whilst the lamp was illuminating the panels, we took measurements by hand, using actually the same illuminance meter that we used for the measurements of the LED panel. And Stephen did those, because he's the tall guy, and you cannot move any furniture, you cannot disturb anything in a National Trust property, so you just have to lean over and stand on ladders and whatever to try and do this. But this was remarkable. So this guerrilla tactic for measurement, that's the percentage difference between what we measured and what we got out of the simulation. So remarkable, most of it below 5%. And again, I think a big part of that was using the same illuminance meter. It's a very stable Hagner device. Okay, then, okay, it's a SNP to determine your reflectivity from luminance and illuminance with the assumption of purely diffuse surfaces. Okay, so we put that in there and we get our reflectance map from the simulated illuminance and what we've got from the HDR. This is just showing a small section of it. And here it is, sort of, we have to do each panel in turn. So now we've got a reflectance map for each of the two tapestries. So it wasn't until a few weeks later that we actually got what we call useful data capture, because there were three Hanwell illuminance meters that we wanted to use as validation. So we waited until they were all in position. But from when we left it on the 19th in March, it was recording every 10 minutes HDR capture. So we ended up with nearly 5,000 of those over that useful period until the room was sort of shuttered off for winter. And so it's very easy to determine the cumulative illuminance map. For that, of course, you've got the 6 in there because it's every 10 minutes, the value in lux hours. And that's what we've got. I've pointed out there the Hanwell light meters, which are on the border there. You can probably see sort of from the images that those Hanwell meters have been moved. They were on freestanding little wooden stands. And when the room was being cleaned, which was fairly regularly, I think these things get moved and then put back in more or less the same position. But that causes problems, as we'll see. But another problem that should be evident is that illumination field is showing evidence of what's behind it, what it's impinging on. So we've got print through. So now there's lots of reasons why this could happen. So just a reminder, HDR captures on one morning and then 6 months or so of subsequent or fully automated HDR capture. So there's lots of possibilities for print through, including non-specular properties, whatever. The detail was actually smaller than the pixel sizes in the image, so you've got all these things. But what I thought, okay, what about if you've got misalignment between the reflectance map and the subsequent HDR captures? Okay, so way to look at this, we'll deal with how we got the reflectance map. Okay. Just looking at a small 701 by 701 section from the tapestries. Okay. And now we swap some terms over, and of course when we divide HDR capture by the reflectance map, we end up with what we put in the first place, which was the simulated illuminance. So now what happens if we don't have perfect alignment between those two images, the reflectance map and the subsequent HDR captures? Okay, so we're going to shift this around. We'll first take off the leading row and column of one image and take off the trailing row and column of the other, realign them, so now we've got one pixel diagonal shift. Okay, so perfect, and then just one pixel in X and Y shift, and boom, it pops out at you. Well, you kind of expect this. It's just maybe the degree of it is quite perhaps a little bit surprising. But what about if it's less than one pixel? So here now we take away one column and one row, and then use a bicubic interpolation to stretch that 7 by 700 by 700 back to 701 by 701, and it kind of simulates the effect of sub-pixel shifts. And now you see there in the top left-hand corner, you've got perfect alignment. But even once you get to a sort of quarter of a pixel, you're getting very visible print through. Okay. Why was this the first thing that we looked at? Well, it was actually Nigel Blades, chief conservationist of the National Trust, who reminded me that tapestries, they're known to expand and contract in changes of relative humidity, even in controlled environments that you tend to get in National Trust properties and so forth. And indeed, the tapestries in the Great Hall at Hampton Court, I think it is, they're twice as big, well, vertically, and they were seen to shift by 6 millimeters. With changes in humidity. So we easily get shifts of 2.2 to 2.6 for these tapestries, which are about half the height. So yeah, you're easily going to get this sort of change in the tapestry. So we correct for this print through by being really coarse and brutal and have just an energy preserving filter that goes across it. So that's average filtering, not median, because this isn't noise, it's just redistribution. So we want to keep all of that. So, and just to show the sort of how similar those areas are, so I've got six areas and two to the panel. And when you look at the unfiltered with the print through and the filtered light dose maps, you know, there's just a fraction of a percent if that difference. Yeah. So you're keeping all that energy in there, you're just smearing it out. Greg's forgotten that we're 15 minutes behind on lunch and stuff. So in terms of validation, we've got those 3 points, but it was really difficult here because we needed to have a couple of patches that we could use as a sort of reference point and then interpolate across them. And these things kept moving, and it's not just the lateral movement, but there's also the aiming. Yeah. So if we look at the daily values now, for all those days, between what we got from the HDR and what was measured. One of those ones, one of the Hanwells, H1, is clearly sort of way out. The others aren't too bad. Fair amount of scatter, but you'd expect this. There's going to be people blocking the windows. I mean, a lot going on in a real space like this. If we look at the cumulative errors, though, over the whole period, then actually even with the scatter of H2 and H3, we're within 10%, which is more than adequate for this sort of work. H1 again is out. We can get a bit of an idea of how important aiming can be, because H1 was the one on the sidewall there, sort of with the window quite low in its hemispherical view. So these are hemispherical views from the photocell point on the handwells. So you can see it really wouldn't take much displacement to get huge errors in that one there. And just to give the acknowledgements, National Trust staff, Amherst, Eleonora is now at Delft, seeing Canon Brooks, UCL, and Canon Brooks Lighting, and Nigel Blaze National Trust. So I said I was going to be brief, and I think I have been, haven't I? Right, there we go. It was all pretty easy stuff anyway. There's a couple of papers as well. Thank you.